Now, by the end of his first year in Beirut, our Middle East correspondent Adam Harvey thought he knew his new hometown. Then he stepped out of his comfort zone and into the part of Beirut controlled by the Iranian-backed militia Hezbollah.
Beirut is a tiny city, crowded around a couple of small hills wedged between the mountains and the Mediterranean. My family's life here is centred on a small part of this compact town, bounded by my son's school, the apartments of our friends, and a couple of pay-as-you-go play centres like Yuppie Park, where you're patted down for prohibited goods like Kit Kats and muesli bars before you're permitted into the seesaws and wooden pirate ship. I walk and run the same streets here every day, and I think I know it. And then an event like Ashura reminds me that I'll always be a stranger here. Ashura is a Shia Muslim commemoration that marks the death in 680 AD of Hussein, the grandson of Islam's prophet Muhammad. It's a huge day in Beirut's Shia districts, and this year I went to Dahiya in Beirut's southern suburbs to attend the Hezbollah event. Dahiya begins just a couple of hundred metres beyond my stomping ground, but crossing the invisible boundary is like entering another country, if not another millennia. There are multiple checkpoints, an outer ring manned by the Lebanese army and an inner network controlled by Hezbollah. Like everyone else today, I'm dressed in black, but I'm obviously not Lebanese, so I'm stopped over and over again by large men wearing tight t-shirts and thick beards and with handguns wedged into their waistbands. I'm searched and my press ID is checked, and then I'm waved through. After the fourth or fifth search, my bag is x-rayed and I'm allowed onto a bus that'll take me even further into Dahiya. It's a place I'd never normally be able to go. Narrow streets are overlooked by apartment blocks of six or seven stories, pockmarked with bullet holes from the fighting here in the 70s and 80s. Hezbollah has its offices here, and it's presumably home to Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah. Israel says the militia stores some of its thousands of missiles here, as well as the equipment it's really worried about, specialist machinery used to make the rockets more accurate. It would be seriously dumb to pull out a camera or recorder here on any other day of the year. You'd soon be having some very intense conversations with heavily armed people. But today is basically Hezbollah open day, and the rules don't apply. An off-duty Lebanese army soldier shows me his tattoos of Hussein, Muhammad's grandson, and tells me that he doesn't think there'll be war with Israel. An older woman tells me it's important that the community comes out in force today as a deterrent to Lebanon's southern neighbour. Some black-clad teenagers wave me over and insist I eat their chicken soup. A young woman practices her Australian accent on me.
Okay. Would you like to roast some marshmallows, mate? Yeah? No. Kangaroos, hop, hop.
Australia via London, I think. Yeah, there's a bit of British in there.
That's like...
She says Dahiya's reputation is undeserved.
Actually, there's a very bad stereotype that Dahiya is actually all filled with terrorists, and there's always bombs and etc. And that's so not true. Like, we've been living... I'm 23, going on 24. I've been living here my whole life, and it's actually really beautiful, and I've never felt safer in my life than being here. There's always men to protect us. They're always here for us.
And then a reasonably normal conversation with an articulate young woman takes a detour. Her boyfriend is a Hezbollah fighter.
Yeah, he did go to Syria a few times, yeah.
And what did
he would like to go more often, but I don't let him because I want him here. I love him too much.
And what was his experience there? What did he say about it?
I told you he'd like to go way more often, but I don't let him. It's me that is not letting him go. Yeah.
Too dangerous.
It's, you know what? Sometimes I tell him, like, God be with you, and I hope, you know, you just come back safe. But, yeah, it is dangerous. Yeah, it is risky. And he knows it, and that's why he wants to go. He's a big, strong man.
How common is it that from this area people go off and fight in Syria?
Very. Very common. Very common, because we all have the same concept. If I were able to fight, I would go, to be honest. But I'm a girl, they wouldn't let me.
The rally itself kicks off, and it feels like all of Beirut is marching past, waving Hezbollah's yellow and green flags. There are scout troops wearing Ayatollah Khomeini's photograph pinned to their shirts. There's a political science student from the Lebanese American University with the photograph of a dead Hezbollah fighter wedged into his headband.
And are you Hezbollah as well?
Yes.
Do you think you will fight?
I think everyone, in a case of war, everyone would have a certain mission to do by defending the country. Whether it's on the battlefield, or whether in the media, or whether as a physician in the hospital, or whether as an educator, everyone will work with this within this battle in order to achieve it.
And where do you think your fight will be? Will it be on the battlefield or in the media?
I'm not sure.
The parade over, I open my phone to navigate my way out of this labyrinth, and I'm floored to realise I'm just a few hundred metres away from the kids' playground, Yuppie Park, where I've stood arguing about 21st century problems like my right to enter a playground with chocolate bars and kids' sandwiches. It seems so far away from this unfamiliar place of guns and vigilance and religion and young people heading off to war. This is Adam Harvey in South Beirut for Correspondence Report.
One fascinating city, Adam Harvey in Beirut there.